Welcome, curious minds, to the deep dive. Today, we are taking a really strategic look at something we all strive for, lasting love. And our mission here isn't to talk about, you know, that first date chemistry or the whirlwind romance stuff. We're diving deep into the architecture, the stuff required to build a connection that's genuinely designed to last.
We're moving past the romantic myth and getting into the practical reality. I mean, the best relationships aren't just lucky. They're engineered.
Engineered. I like that.
And this deep dive, it distills years of foundational research from Pitcott. We're taking it directly from the best-selling ebooks on their store to give you a clear blueprint for sustainable bonds.
And look, I know as we're talking, some of you might be thinking, I need to get my hands on this. And you absolutely can. Just visit www.pitcott.com/books right now. You can download those ebooks and really start building that blueprint today.
Yeah, then the core idea here, the premise that really anchors all this research, it's just so critical. Lasting love is not a single event.
Not a lightning strike.
Exactly. It's a sustained strategic commitment. It's a daily choice that requires enormous patience and a real willingness to engage in the sometimes messy work of genuine connection.
I really appreciate the emphasis on strategy and choice. It immediately shifts your mindset from just passively wishing for something to actively building it.
It does.
So to guide you through this, we've structured our analysis around five core strategies that Pitcott has identified as, you know, essential for a lifetime bond.
We're going to break it all down.
Yeah.
We'll look at how to align personalities, not by becoming identical, but by finding this complementary emotional rhythm. We'll explore how shared interests create the relationships, their own essential mythology.
Okay.
Then the paradoxical strength you get from embracing differences, the mastery of true communication.
Yeah.
And finally, how continuous growth and evolution become a joint lifestyle.
All right, let's unpack this. Strategy one, aligning personalities. The material calls this finding your emotional rhythm. And the research is so insistent on this point. Compatibility isn't about mirroring each other.
No, not at all.
It's about finding a rhythm where your differences actually complement each other instead of, you know, clashing.
Right. And this strategy breaks that whole concept down into three measurable core beats. The first one, and you could argue it's the most important for stability, is emotional stability.
Okay, emotional stability.
And this isn't just about being a calm person in general. It's the demonstrated ability to maintain your composure when the relationship is under pressure.
So how does that actually play out? I mean, how does that translate into behavior during a crisis? It sounds nice, but it's really hard when emotions are running high.
Oh, it's tremendously difficult.
Yeah.
Which is why it's a skill, you know, not just a personality trait. The Pitcott material points to using what psychologists call a repair attempt.
A repair attempt.
Yeah. So instead of one or both partners escalating a conflict, exploding, or just shutting down, they use a thoughtful, non-defensive response.
Yeah.
It could be as simple as saying, I need 5 minutes to think about how to respond to that fairly.
Or even injecting some gentle humor, maybe.
Exactly. That ability to just pause and manage your own internal arousal, it prevents these minor friction points from creating, you know, catastrophic lasting damage.
So the pause becomes the strength. It's like emotional stability is the ultimate shock absorber for the relationship. What's the second beat in this rhythm?
That would be tolerance. Now, this is one that's often misunderstood. People think it's just passive acceptance.
He's putting up with things.
Right. But here, the material frames it as actively approaching differences in habits, opinions, routines, whatever, with profound patience and respect.
Okay, can I push back on that a little? Because it's one thing to tolerate, you know, leaving a dish in the sink. But what about really fundamental differences? Like, say, opposing political views or completely different philosophies on money. How do you actively show deep regard for something you fundamentally disagree with?
That's a fantastic question, and that's where the depth comes in. The insight the research gives us is that by actively respecting the minor low-stakes differences, like a preferred morning routine or a choice in decor, you build up what we could call idiosyncratic credit.
Idiosyncratic credit. I like that.
By choosing to be patient in those small areas, you're signaling this deep foundational respect for your partner's autonomy. So when a major difference comes up, you have this reserve of trust to draw from. That patience, it confirms you value them more than the specific issue. And that actively strengthens the bond.
That reframing is powerful. It changes tolerance from a sacrifice into an investment.
Precisely. And the third beat is the intellectual connection. This is that ongoing commitment to a shared mental vitality.
Mm-hmm.
It's the richness that comes from having deep, challenging conversations, mutual admiration for each other's intelligence, and, yeah, sharing the same weird humor.
Oh, that's a big one.
It is. Finding someone who not only gets your silliest jokes, but genuinely challenges your perspective on the world, that's the ultimate sign of enduring comfort and intellectual synergy.
It makes the relationship a place of continuous learning, not just a place to rest. Okay, let's shift to strategy two, cultivating shared interests. The Pitcott material calls these the essential glue of togetherness, not just fun hobbies.
Right, because shared interests are the raw material for the relationship's actual identity. When we talk about activities like hiking or painting, cooking, even just committing to binge watching a huge series together, we're talking about creating overlapping experiences.
And why is creating those shared experiences so vital for long-term success?
Because it fosters comfort, belonging, and intimacy in action. When you and your partner share a moment, whether it's successfully making a complicated meal or getting totally lost on a trail, you're building common stories. And these common stories form the relationship's internal mythology. It's the shared narrative, the unique language, the inside jokes, the memories that you'll tell and retell for years. And this mythology, it reinforces the bond every single time and makes your partnership unique.
So it's about identity fusion.
Mm-hmm.
We aren't just two people doing an activity. We are the couple who did that wild thing together.
Exactly. You are actively, constantly defining us.
Okay, this is where it gets really interesting, I think. Moving into strategy three, embracing differences. It feels a little counterintuitive to go from aligning personalities to now celebrating uniqueness.
It's the evolution of a deep connection. The research is very clear on this. Differences are not hurdles to overcome. They're opportunities for mutual expansion.
Mm-hmm.
Thriving couples, they respect individuality. They focus on growing together rather than dedicating all their energy to trying to change the other person.
That sounds beautiful, but let's be realistic. Can you give a sourced example? A time when a difference created actual conflict and how that conflict itself became the engine for growth instead of just, you know, pretending the conflict didn't exist.
A classic example is a spender partnered with a saver. This difference will inevitably cause conflict. The spender sees the saver as stifling. The saver sees the spender as reckless.
Right.
The growth doesn't come from the spender magically becoming a saver. It comes from the couple being forced to confront their core values about security versus freedom. By debating and negotiating a joint budget that allows for both security and some agreed-upon spontaneity, they broaden each other's understanding. The saver learns flexibility. The spender learns future responsibility. The difference forced them to build a richer, more robust system they wouldn't have created otherwise.
So the difference acts as a necessary friction. It challenges your individual assumptions and ultimately deepens empathy. That is true win-win.
It is. You're literally learning about the world through your partner's lens, which adds a dimension to your own life that, you know, being with a clone never could.
Okay, now we move to strategy four, communication and connection. The source material calls this the sturdy bridge that carries the relationship over all the tough times. And it's not just about talking, right? It's this deep interplay of active listening, body language, understanding the emotions beneath the words.
Yeah, and communication success, it really rests first on mastering active listening. Pitcott describes three critical levels of listening. Most people, most of the time, operate at level one. Internal listening. You're only listening to frame your next reply.
You're just preparing your defense or your counter argument instead of actually absorbing the message.
Absolutely. That's competitive, not connective. The goal is to get to level two, focus listening. That's where you temporarily suspend your internal dialogue to genuinely hear what your partner means. But the true mastery, the level you need for that lasting intimacy, is level three, global listening. This means hearing the words, observing the body language, and sensing the emotion all at the same time to understand what's not being said.
That requires total presence. I mean, it sounds exhausting, but essential.
It is, and it creates trust. And following that, we have to use what the material calls connecting questions. These aren't just inquiries. They are invitations to connect.
So not just what's wrong.
No. It's phrases like, how did that make you feel, truly? Or tell me more about the part that worried you. These questions instantly signal, I value your emotional state more than I value being right.
And that leads directly to empathy.
Yes. Empathy is putting yourself in your partner's shoes to understand, not just sympathize with, their experience. When you master these elements, the material notes that the relationship reaches this state of profound trust. The ultimate sign of success is when, Even silence becomes profoundly comforting.
Wow.
Because both partners feel completely seen and valued without needing constant verbal reassurance.
That deep dive into communication is exactly what makes this material so valuable. It gives you specific tools, not just, you know, generalized advice.
And if you're finding this granular detail supportive for your own personal growth journey, remember that this is just a fraction of the foundational knowledge available. We really encourage you to visit www.pitcott.com right now to explore the full range of resources that are there for you.
All right, let's move to our final strategic pillar, Strategy 5, Growth and Evolution. The reality of any long-term bond is that life is fluid. There are new careers, new goals, major losses, shifting passions. A relationship that tries to stand still is, well, it's inevitably going to fracture under the weight of all that change.
Adaptation isn't optional. It's the central function of longevity. The analogy that Pitcott uses is brilliant. They say to view your love as a river.
A river.
It bends, it rushes through rapids, and sometimes it slows to this glassy surface. The main goal is for the couple to flow with the river, together, rather than trying to anchor themselves against the current.
So how does a couple consciously evolve as a single team when one person's path might seem to be diverging from the other's?
It takes a commitment to radical mutual support. This means consciously celebrating each other's individual goals and personal wins without any trace of jealousy. It means navigating challenges jointly, always reaffirming that team aspect.
Can you give an example?
Sure. If one partner starts a demanding new career, the other adapts the household logistics. And they view their support not as a burden, but as an investment in the relationship's future.
So it's a commitment to lifelong joint learning and a continuous renegotiation of roles.
It is, and reflection is the engine that drives it. The role of reflection is vital here. Every challenge you successfully navigate together, a job loss, a new passion, a cross-country move, it teaches you collective resilience. Every joy reinforces the connection. Growth isn't a one-time achievement. It becomes a relationship lifestyle for couples who thrive.
That idea, a relationship lifestyle built on reflection and resilience, it perfectly synthesizes everything we've covered today. We started with the core premise, and now we're circling right back to it. Love is not some passive force of magic or destiny.
It is fundamentally a daily decision. It's the choice to offer patience, understanding, laughter, and growth every single day. The extraordinary quality of lasting love. It isn't built in these rare, grand gestures. It's built in the sustained, cumulative power of small, consistent acts of care that stack up over years and decades.
So if you want to put this knowledge into action immediately, tonight we want to leave you with this final provocative thought. Go to your partner and apply one of these strategies in a way you haven't before. Maybe ask a level 3 connecting question and then just listen fully to their response.
Mm-hmm. Or share a memory you built together that forms part of your unique relationship mythology.
That commitment to daily conscious action, that is the true repeatable art of lasting relationships. We hope this deep dive into the architecture of lasting love has given you some foundational tools to strengthen your own bonds.
And if you found this information valuable, please press the like button. It helps tremendously in the recommendation algorithm, so others who are seeking this kind of knowledge can access it too.
And if you haven't already, please subscribe to our channel and be sure to activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads and our next deep dives.
For those of you ready to continue your own deep dive and access the full wealth of material that informed today's discussion, we invite you one last time to visit www.pitcott.com.
Thank you for being there with us. Thank you for listening to the Pitcott podcast. I will leave a link in the description below.